Ladies and gentlemen, it's Wednesday, and just in case you don't know what that means, it means that it's time for, we had Wednesday Night Dynamite, now we're going to review it on Wrestling Inc. in the after show. I'm Jack Farmer, being joined by Flobo Boyce and Jimmy Ran Up the Rocky Steps Corderis. Jimmy, how have you been since this week? For those who don't know, you and I were both in Philadelphia this week, and we've got to run up the Rocky Steps.
Yeah, man. Yo, Wadra, I did it. You know, oh, my goodness. Thank goodness she filmed it, and we have video evidence of this, or else nobody would believe it. But it was awesome. It was great to see you live and in living color for once instead of just on the screen.
He's tall in person, right?
Yeah, he is.
Both of us are taller than in person.
I'm pretty small.
Jimmy, I said Jimmy's much taller in person because I'm so used to seeing him stand next to The Undertaker. Man. And then I'm like, oh, he looks like a small fella. And then I stand next to him, like, oh, we're like the same height.
It's you know what it is? It's that Tony Atlas 101. Stand one step closer to the hard camera, you look bigger.
Oh, love it.
How did you know where the hard cam was in real life? That's incredible. But yeah, it was great getting to see you. Great meeting the Mrs. Audra, and great getting to spend some time with you guys. Bummed it was a little short, but still always good to see you. Flobo, always great chatting with you. I'm glad to have you on this time around, because this is going to be a spicy one. I'm going to need your best journalistic integrity and takes and all that stuff.
Oh, no. Did you not see me do the SmackDown After Show on Friday? I am not the guy for that, but so glad I'm here.
I don't watch that show.
Fridays.
But thanks for being here, Flobo. How have you been? I haven't seen you in a while.
You know, I'm kind of warm here in Southern California. I didn't go to Philadelphia like some people, but it's still the high season of wrestling, so I saw a lot of footage of the past week.
Well, I want to thank everyone who is joining us today, who is with us. Please make sure to leave a 5-star review. Feel free to like, comment, share, subscribe, all that good stuff. It's always very appreciated. This one, I'm going to say up front, let's be a little kind today. Let's be friendly today. I got a feeling. I just got a feeling this is going to be a spicy episode. I got a feeling that this is going to be an episode that gets a lot of people their blood flowing here. So, of course, your thoughts.
Not to cut you off there, Jack.
Cut him off.
You've met me. You know me. Yeah. I'm a friendly guy. I don't like, but there were some things tonight that just really got under my skin, and I have to get those off my chest when the time is right.
Only one spice, salt. That's what we got. Salty all night.
There was a little bit of jalapeno pepper thrown in there, too.
So, so I do want to say, I think kind of the best news of the day, though, something I think we can all agree the best news of the day is Justine A. with some wonderful news in the chat here. It says, I tested negative for cancer last week. Oh! Justine, huge congratulations. Very glad to hear that news. Best news of the week. Glad to hear that. Very, very important news to get. Let's talk about some less important news, some wrestling news. It's a transition, right? Let's talk a bit about Forbidden Door 3. There's been some changes to Forbidden Door 3. On Beyond the Bell, Andrew Zarian reported that Arthur Ashe will no longer be the stadium that Forbidden Door is going to be held at in June. And while there's not a new location as of yet, it's believed more information will become available in about a week's time. Flobo, you're a New Yorker. Hey. So you must know something about Arthur Ashe Stadium. But for me, I feel like this is great news because I feel like they had Arthur Ashe all the time. And I think the best thing they could do is find a stadium in an area they don't always go to. I look at this as fantastic news. You are the resident New Yorker living in California. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. So Arthur Ashe is kind of next to the artist formerly known as Shea Stadium, Citi Field, and LaGuardia Airport. And so I understand AEW's drive to have a home base, like how WWE has the Garden, and I guess in Barclays as well. So I kind of like the fact that we're going to Arthur Ashe back and forth, but you're absolutely right, Jack. If something doesn't work out, whatever reason it is, and you want to go somewhere else, it is a big flipping city. You can even try alternative venues, outdoor stuff, indoor stuff. You're like in the city with the Manhattan Center. You know, you have a lot more options in a town that large. So this may actually working out for them.
Jimmy, I don't I hate comparing companies because I feel like they are such different things. But I look at WWE over the past year, and one of their big success stories to me is that they've been going to places they've never been before. In fact, they go very far from where they've been before, where we look at Australia, whether we look at Cardiff recently, or not recently, but almost about a year ago, Puerto Rico. Now they're going back to France or back, not back. They're going back to Europe. They're going to France and Germany. They're going all over the place, all over the world. And every time they go to these places, they get the biggest crowds. They get the most excited fans. I'm not saying that AEW is at a place where they should suddenly start traveling internationally, but I think it's kind of proof that the more you can get out of your comfort zone, the better it is for everybody.
No, you're absolutely right. When you go to places infrequently or new places, especially new venues, new destinations, new cities, new towns, new countries, if you go that far, you always get your best audience there because they are dying to see your product. And the challenge is when you do eventually come back is can you get those people to come back? Because, you know, the first timers are always going to come back and they're going to jam the building and they want to see you and they want to be entertained. So you got to put on your best show, especially, you know, in AEW's case right now. And I'm not picking on them. Please do not bombard me on Twitter, on the old Twitter machine. I'm just saying right now, it's a fact. It's out there. They're a little bit struggling with attendance right now. They need to pick up the game. And what better way to do it than to go to places they haven't been before instead of relying on the old places that they've been already. You look at, like you mentioned, Jack, WWE is hitting places, again, not comparing, but they're going to places. They go to Australia sparingly, because, first of all, it's a long haul over there.
It's a bit of a drive.
Yeah, it's a bit of a drive. It's a longer drive from Toronto to Philly, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But, you know, they go to Europe, not frequently, but back in the day, it was like twice a year we would go to Europe, but they'd pick separate destinations on each trip. So go to, you know, just try new venues, try different. Don't try to go to the same places because you popped a big crowd that one time you went.
Right. And I think also because, like, don't go somewhere just because it's a name value. I always say growing up, I lived in the Pacific Northwest and wrestling rarely came out to the Pacific Northwest when I was growing up for probably a million reasons. But that means whenever they came. Oh, yeah. Go ahead. Jimmy.
No. Go finish your thought.
It was like you had to go because they don't come very often. And I always felt like I wish they came out more. Why don't I get to see live wrestling as much? And so one, I think it's great when they go to places they never go because people are going to go. They don't get many opportunities. They have to go because they don't know when you're coming back. But also, I'm a big believer in serving fans. And there's a huge fan base that doesn't ever get to see live events. So give them the power and the opportunity to see a live event. Go to them. I think that's important.
Absolutely. No, I just a thought because you said you grew up in the Pacific Northwest. And we used to get in Toronto. We used to get Vancouver's All-Star Wrestling. After on Saturday nights after hockey night in Canada, and my dad and I would watch the Maple Leafs usually lose on a Saturday night. What brought me up was watching All-Star Wrestling from Vancouver afterwards. And, you know, guys like Eric Froelich. And I saw the first time I ever saw Roddy Piper when I was a youngster was on All-Star Wrestling from Vancouver. And I didn't know if you guys got it from, you know, back in the day, maybe it was before your time.
I never saw it, but the Pacific Northwest is just a gem for wrestling. But yeah, back in the day, they never showed up, never saw them.
Check it out though.
Something that a lot of people are going to get access to though is AEW is announcing the debut of a new podcast, Adam Cole and Evil Uno hosting All Elite Arcade, which is going to basically be covering the latest gaming news. And they're going to be doing like play-alongs, it sounds like, and things like that. Flobo, you are a veteran podcaster, and you've also done some e-casting as well for things like Rocket League. And you definitely have a big background in that. Talk to me about what you think this means for AEW, for this podcast. What are your thoughts when you hear this?
Well, I mean, Adam Cole is the most seasoned person on the roster, say for what, Aubrey, that has the most experience in gaming. So it definitely was the right call for them. If you're going in that space to talk about it, I know a cynical fan would say, oh, Fight Forever wasn't my cup of tea, but it opens up the whole new demographic for people to watch or engage with AEW characters when the wrestling product is not on in the morning, going to school, that kind of thing. So it's a net positive. I'm not sure what their strategy is. Is it going to be like long form play along? Is it going to be like a listicles or kind of like an ongoing show, but why not go into that space when you have so many people in that next generation graphic, that demographic, that generation alpha, who are looking to have a wrestling brand in theory and have no allegiance to either Stanford or Jackson.
Yeah, Jimmy, I don't know monetarily how this works. You know, I'm just like, I don't say that as a, like, I don't know how they're going to make money from it. I just literally, I don't know how the business side of this works on AEW's end. But I feel like it's smart that they're trying to expand and grow. Obviously, WWE over the years has had music. They've had movies. They've done a lot of things. Some stuff has stuck. Some stuff hasn't. I like that AEW is trying to expand and find new ventures out there. What are your takes on them doing some podcasts?
Why not? I mean, that seems to be the trend right now. Their podcasts are hot and all over wrestling, not just, you know, WWE or anybody else. Look at us. We're doing okay, I think. I hope, you know. Yeah. And the gaming world, of course. I'm not a big gamer. I hung it up ever since Nintendo. But, you know, there's a big gaming population out there. So why not capitalize on that audience and try and draw them in if you can? And you can kill two birds with one stone. So in a manner of speaking, where you can draw a wrestling audience that's also tuned into the gaming world and bring them together.
This is kayfabe. I don't believe you stop gaming. I believe you like Sudoku or Wordle in the Dates. I have no idea. Yeah.
I don't think of a game. Apparently that's some term used in wrestling. I don't know what it means. So.
Oh, yeah.
yeah, I think it's cool. We'll see how it plays out. Hopefully it's a success for them. But let's talk about this show. Let's talk about the podcast or the podcast. Let's not talk about the podcast. Let's talk about the podcast.
Hey, let them talk about the podcast. Let everyone who's following along in our chat room there, let them talk about the podcast.
I don't know if I want to, because Tuckgraf says, I'm angry with Jack for missing the Raw review. This will take time.
Yeah, go to work, Jack. Why'd you skip it?
I'm such a baby. I flew back in that day. And, I totally...
Are your arms tired.
Yeah. I'm so glad that you didn't miss that. I never miss the opportunity. Someone says, did you get a haircut? I will every time for the rest of my day say, I got them all cut.
I got a haircut before I went to Philly. I know you can't tell, but
I can't with you guys.
But I could have done the Raw show. Like I got like when Raw starts, like I could be on Raw right now. I was like, I'm just going to take the night off though. But I want to thank everyone for joining us in the chat and for all of the people who are lurking right now. I also want to give a shout out, on YouTube, Michael Vasquez, always gives us a nice comment in the comment section on YouTube. Always appreciate people who do that. And I want to give a shout out to Carlito Way Brown. Carlito's Way. That's great. Gave us a 5-star review on Apple, said, you guys continue to impress me with your wrestling knowledge and weekly breakdowns of WWE, NXT, and AEW. I enjoy all your shows, and it helps make my work nights go by way faster. Keep up the amazing content, and I can't wait to hear your WrestleMania weekend reviews. So I hope you enjoyed everyone's thoughts about WrestleMania. I had a ball. It was a great time. I think anyone who's a wrestling fan who's never been to WrestleMania week, they should go. I think it's a huge and important thing just because... They take over the whole town. It's fantastic. I always say, as a wrestling fan, it's cool being in a town where it's cool to be a wrestling fan. Everyone's there. I was saying to Flobo earlier today, you could literally just walk around and go, yeah. And someone in the city will go, yeah. And it's like, this is great. I could just yell yeet. And someone's going to yell yeet at me.
I even got my wife going yeet. It was amazing because she had never, other than coming to shows,
Jimmy,
in Toronto,
you dog.
No, other than coming to shows here in Toronto, in the hometown, she has never traveled with me on the road to go to a show, to a WrestleMania, to a SummerSlam, to anything. Oh, wow. This was the first time she ever came with me because I wasn't actually working at the show. So I could spend time with her, and we came along. We met a lot of old friends. I ran into some old buddies and stuff like that. And she enjoyed it. She enjoyed it. She really loved it.
It was a good time. Corey Pride with the great question, though. How cold were you, Jack and Jimmy? I was freezing. I was cold the entire time. I have a very low temperature tolerance, but I was like,
I hear you. Being from Canada, everybody thought I automatically was fine with the cold. No, I've got Mediterranean blood, man.
Well, again, everyone who's with us in the chat, Mike Rouse in the house, Corey Pride, of course, Big John, Peter P, Sadzilla. Oh, sad. I hope you feel better. Aaron Mick, Andrew Huffman, Elite Training, Ricky Zaldivar, Jonathan Torres, Rob Mowring, Victor Sandoval, Justine. Did I say Justine already? Daniel Barry, Angie Schindel, Jay Willie, Matt DeCat, Scott Langford, Jeff Bailey, Joe C. Lurking, saying it's lurking time. I love the it's lurking time, Josie. Always good to see you. Stephen Camp, Fernando, Manani Kay. I don't think I've seen you before, Manani. I hope I'm saying that right. But Laura Rock, of course, good to see you. Jay Harris. By the way, Corey Pride, I see your super chat, and we will absolutely talk about that once we get to the video that we will absolutely be talking about soon. But of course, Tuck, MDB, Brianne, Jordan, Sean, I think I got everyone, Sherrod, David, I think I got everybody. I mentioned a lot of names here. SSP, Joel, Brody, Sammy, a lot of folks here. Appreciate you guys being here. We're going to talk about AEW. That's what we're here for. We're 15 minutes in. Time to talk about some AEW Dynamite. And this is a show. I feel like we're going to fight you guys. I feel like we're going to argue. I feel like I want us
to feel like you want to, because I can totally fight you if you like.
I want us all to just enjoy this calm little moment before the storm.
Just get me backstage and get my face, brother. I'll totally. I kid.
Bobo, you're a clown.
There's so much glass everywhere.
Michigan sports fan lurking. Good to see you, by the way. Stalking you with the dog emoji. You always get a shout out if I see you in time stalking you. Very quick opening segment here. Eliminator match. Samoa Joe, Dustin Rhodes comes out, Samoa Joe comes out, but before Dustin Rhodes can get there, Swerve Strickland shows up and beats the crap out of the champion, Jimmy. We don't even get the match. That's going to have to happen later tonight. I thought that this was one of those unpredictable, fun ways to kick off the show. And you know I love unpredictable, fun ways to kick off the show. But as Flobo crosses his arms like a negative Nancy, what did you think?
I didn't mind it at all. I like that it's set up for later on in the show. And putting Joe through the table. Here's what Joe did brilliantly. It looked like the table affected him and almost knocked him out. Joe sold that like he was supposed to sell it. He didn't get up and no sell it. And that's the beauty and the art of what Joe does. And he's a guy that these young guys can learn from, if you get my drift. Mm-hmm. So I like the way it set it up. And I don't know if they said it right on commentary, but all they had to say was, this match may not happen, but if it does, if Joe is cleared, we'll have it later tonight. That's all they had to say. But I was okay with it.
Flobo, what I liked about it is it did. I love when wrestling gives me that. So what's happening? Like what is like what's happening? What's going on in a good way? Sometimes, and we'll talk about it. There's a few times where tonight where I was like, why is this happening? But this was a good. Why is it like what's happening? What's going to happen next? And right. I love how especially wrestling shows that can get kind of formulaic in the beginning. This was not formulaic. So I enjoyed it, but you didn't like seeing your guy Samoa Joe go through a table.
No, that part was fine. Well, that sounds terrible. That was great.
Put it through more. I'm telling Joe.
That's not what I mean. I like the segment. I like the fact that you started off eliminated a match up front. You have Samoa Joe coming down. You had Swerve attack him. I was on board with all of that. The only issue I had was, oh man, Joe's hurt. So anyway, Trent Beretta turned heel last week. You're like, well, hold on. Like, give me a moment to be like, oh my gosh, Joe was actually laid out. It was like, whatever. Time for our next match of the evening. I was like, well, I guess it was planned then? I was confused.
Yeah, Jimmy, you look like you had a thought on that.
No, it triggered something there. It's what I say sometimes. See, AEW has been getting better to the last few weeks with their pacing of their programming and placing things a little bit better and giving things time to marinate with the audience. Tonight felt a little bit like they were trying to cram, as I say, 20 pounds of potatoes in a 10-pound bag. You know, everything felt a little rushed at times, except for some of the matches, which we'll talk about. But you're right, Flo. They did kind of rush into the next segment. And like you said, it felt like, okay, we're ready to go with the next match, despite the fact that, you know, it wasn't technically supposed to happen then. It's like when they say, well, I'm challenging you to this match next week, and like 3 seconds later, Tony Schiavone, I just heard in my earpiece, the match is made official.
That is true. We did kind of rock and roll right through it pretty quickly. It would have been nice to get a little bit of time to breathe here. I think they knew they had a pretty packed show, but I do want
to. Well, we had to give time to a certain video that we're going to talk about later. But anyway,
look, we will talk about it. We're teasing this video. In fact, I'm going to put a little countdown timer on the screen. If I was good enough to time it, I would. But
just draw it out. Yeah.
We don't need to talk about this very much, but the video package with Trent Beretta and the non-interview with Orange Cassidy. They say that he's going to address things on Rampage. Flobo, the only reason I want to bring this up is we've criticized AEW in the past about their video packages and telling stories. I thought this was a pretty darn good summary of what's going on, why you need to tune in, and what the situation is with the best friends.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, even though I have gripes about the timing of it all, here you have a perfect middle of the show story. And whether or not you like the quirky parts of AEW, you can all admit that Sue was kind of fun to watch, and so was Orange Cassidy. So it all makes sense. Trent Beretta is due for something a bit more serious to really sink his teeth into. To me, it hits all the marks here.
Yeah. Any comments on the video package, Jimmy? I mean, again, there's probably not a whole lot to take away. I like to give flowers when we critique something for a long time and they start we see a difference. I want to make sure I acknowledge that they did make that change. Did you like this one? Again, outside of the fact that it sort of went like, our world champion has been killed. Anyways.
Yeah, well, by the way, here's the video package. Yeah.
Right.
No, I didn't mind the video package. I like the fact that they're doing them and they're taking little elements. I'm not saying be a copycat of what the other guys do. I'm just saying take little elements of what works for them and incorporate it into your programming and tweak it the way you want it to present it to your audience. And that's what they're doing. They're giving us little backgrounds into stories. They're recapping. So they're reminding us what happened last week. This is what happened last week. Where does this go next? And then we have, tune into Rampage and find out. I get what they're trying to do there. They're trying to draw the audience in there, but why not draw them to the bigger show as opposed to, I know you're trying to pump up the numbers for Rampage and that makes sense, but why don't you say, hey, we'll do it on either Saturday on Collision or next Wednesday. I have something to say.
That's an interesting point, Flo, but how do you feel about that? Because some people always say, look, you got to give me a reason to watch Rampage. You got to give me a reason to tune in. But then there is a bit of truth. Like, why is the big thing happening on the show no one watches? What do you think about that? Should they be doing something like this on Rampage, or should they kind of, for lack of a better word, punt on Rampage and say, look, this is going to be where nothing really happens, but if you're a fan, you get to watch it?
I think Rampage is the worst show as far as like consistency, right? Because the time moves all the time. It's on Friday nights. It's late. People can come in for sweeps weeks or whatever, you get into the whole TV thing, then sure. But I really think that AEW would be better if they said, hey, look, Friday Night Wrestling, just come as you are and enjoy it. Not to compare it to Saturday Night WCW, but that was kind of the thing. It was like, oh, Saturday night, it's time for wrestling. Who's in it? We don't really care.
Sunday Night Heat was kind of that way, too.
Yeah. Better example, I guess. Yeah.
I think more people watch Sunday Night Heat. That's why I use that example. I think especially with AEW, the way they're built, I think it'd be very easy for them to just say, look, we're going to put three matches on Rampage. They may not be the biggest stars, but they're going to be the barn burner guys who are going to give you that crazy 5-star match that everyone wants, and you'll have fun. But if you miss it, it's also not the end of the world, because it's just a murder time. Like, Friday night is tough. Like, it's tough to get people to tune in regularly to anything.
For anyone, not just AEW, for any television programming, especially late, because that demographic you're looking at, that 18 to 49 demographic, they don't want to be stuck at home watching a television show. They want to be out doing their thing.
Right. So in any case, we move on and we got to kind of a story that was really the biggest thread of the show. Even though it wasn't the most talked about part of their show, it was definitely the biggest thread of the show. It started with Adam Copeland facing Penta El Zero Miedo for the TNT Championship in what was kind of the quintessential, what would it look like if a WWE star faced an AEW star that we would never actually see happen in real life, happen before our eyes. I thought this was a fantastic matchup for people who like wrestling matches. Of course, after the match, Brody King comes out, beats up Adam Copeland because they have a trios match at Dynasty. Willow Nightingale makes the save here. Later on, Rated Chicken Pox, which has got to be in the listed for worst names. But hey, I give him credit for putting it together. They're going to do a mixed tag team match, I think, next week. And we get a video package on Julia Hart. And then just because I want to put all my potatoes in this bag, Jimmy, later on in the night, I'm just going to bundle this together because I have a feeling once we get to the video package, we're going to be on that for quite some time. Mercedes Moné had a interview package with Alex Marvez, and she's talking Dynasty, talking Julia Hart and Willow Nightingale. Marvez asks her, hey, who would you rather face? And before she can answer, the lights go out and she gets attacked. I feel like Excalibur running down next week's card. we have Jimmy, I'll start with you. I want to talk about Adam Copeland and Pentel Zeramieto. I love this. I was blown away. I thought these guys really put on a, as the kids say, a banger of a matchup. It was great seeing Adam Copeland doing things I'd never see him do before, like hurricanranas and things like that. And it's just cool to see him doing stuff and work with people I don't think I'd ever see him wrestle otherwise.
No, it was a really good match. It was a solid match, and it told a story throughout the match. There was a thread to their storytelling, for lack of a better term. You know, they took their time. The pacing was really good. The crowd maybe wasn't – they started off hot. They kind of lulled in the middle, but they got him back big time. Mm-hmm. And they had a, as they like to call it, a banger. Mm-hmm. So this maybe in hindsight, you know, it's easy to Monday morning or Wednesday night quarterback here, but maybe this match should have just opened up the show. Just start with this and start it off hot. Yes, the angle was hot, but this would have got the crowd pumped up, and you didn't have to have all that gaga go on before it to get people, you know.
Yeah.
And then the aftermath, well, I was fine with the aftermath if they just don't do it so often. That's the only problem. There's always... it's almost like that mentality where, okay, to continue this feud, there has to be a run-in after a match. You know,
yeah.
save those for when it really means something.
The Flobo, I know that you have opinions about the wrestlers involved in this matchup. And yeah,
sure so do.
You can talk about them if you'd like. But I also want to talk to you about one of my favorite parts about this entire event this week, this entire AEW Dynamite. Was Adam Copeland was getting attacked and beaten up, and someone came to save him. And it could have been one of his tag team partners. Could have been Eddie Kingston. I think we all would have loved that. Mm-hmm. Could have been Mark Briscoe. I think we all would have loved that. Mm-hmm. But instead, it was Willow Nightingale. And about five different levels, I loved that it was Willow Nightingale who came to make the save. Talk to me about that aspect.
Well, it's kind of funny because like Willow Nightingale is so high energy, but she's like, if you want to talk about the moral compass, it's the conscience of AEW. So it's like things are wrong and they're happening afoot. I must go save them. Kind of a weird move having Sokey Hathaway try to get a match for the TNT championship. I was like, is that happening? Oh, is that happening? Okay, that's cool. But yeah, why not Willow Nightingale? She is so close. She's already one of the more popular wrestlers in the roster, but she is so close with being that crossover star a brand like that needs. And so, yeah, you know what? Get her involved as much as you can.
I didn't really think about her as the moral compass, but you're right. And I think she's so beloved. And I just think also this is a company that has been kind of dragged for not featuring women's wrestlers enough. And to have her, I think there's a big thing here. I think it says a lot that Adam Copeland, Hall of Famer, one of the greats in pro wrestling, is in trouble. And she saved him. I think that's a big thing, Jimmy. I maybe I'm over looking too far into it, but I feel like that's a huge deal that Willow Nightingale saved a Hall of Famer tonight.
No, it absolutely is what we talk about. It's elevating the next generation of talent. And that's what the past generation is supposed to do, is elevate the next talent. And when you put her beside someone like an Adam Copeland, who, you know, formerly known as Edge, people will go, wow. Look who she's associated with, and it brings people in. Now they want to pay attention. Now they want to say, okay, what's going on here? Is he going to mentor her? Is that going to be a thing going forward? Is he going to be like Chris Jericho is trying to be a mentor now? He's been doing it for a long time in AEW, where younger talent, he's trying to help elevate that younger talent. And we're seeing Edge do it now too. So, hey, all hats off to him.
Mercedes was attacked before she had the chance to say who she wanted to face. Flobo, you're shaking your head. Who was she going to say? Who does she want to face?
You know what? I don't think she's – I think she's going to say, I'm the CEO. I can take on all comers. But, I mean, Marvez, man, just start swinging the darkness. Try to catch that person. Just let it happen in slow motion. I know you're a journalist, but you're also security, man. We need you. I mean, poor Monet got beat up in the darkness.
Look,
Let's put it this way. At this point, Alex Marvez is the Bronco Lubitsch of interviewers. Let's put it that way.
Right. Poor guy. Yeah. What's going on, guys? Smack, smack, smack.
If it was me in there, when the lights came on, I'd have been hidden under the table somewhere safe where I didn't have to worry about something happening to me.
Hey, but, I was in another place where when the lights went off, I left the ring.
Oh, yes, exactly.
Yes. That's a smart move. but let's finally get to it. Let's talk about this.
Do we have to?
Sorry, I forgot. So what do you want to talk about?
Oh, there we go.
It's dashing. Let's talk a little bit about this video. So everyone in the chat, get some water. I thought you were about to spill some tea. Let's talk about this video. So I'm going to break this into two chunks for everyone in the chat and everyone who's listening and watching. There is we're going to start with the, I guess, out of television, bigger picture version of this. And then I want to talk about how it affects the storylines and what's going on as far as it being a TV show. So we're going to start. We get the video and it shows what happens. CM Punk walks over. They talk for a little bit. Looks like CM Punk caused a physical altercation. And there's that. I'm looking over at the chat. I know how people feel about this. Mm-hmm. Jimmy, you're yawning. Talk to me about what you, from the video standpoint, tell me what you thought.
When you say from the video standpoint, from what I actually saw from the footage of the video?
I feel like a lot of people think they shouldn't have shown the video footage.
They didn't need to.
I don't think they needed to myself. But I don't know. Just take it away. Take out all the how does this help the storyline stuff.
Like, it doesn't.
So take that part out. But just how did you feel about the video? What you saw? I don't know. Your takeaways on this.
Okay. People are going to say that I'm taking sides here. I'm not taking sides. I went into this to see the video and I thought, okay, I'm going to sit back and I'm going to look at it objectively, not picking sides. I'm going to see what the video is all about. First of all, there was no audio. So we can't put any context into what the conversation was about. And it looked to me like Punk was trying to offer Jack Perry some advice. That's how it looked to me, because that's what the veterans do. They take the guys when they come back, you know, when a veteran comes up to a young guy, when they come back from the ring after their match or wherever the case may be, they offer advice. That's what veterans do. The good ones. And that's what he tried to do. And it looked like he was being fluffed off by the, you know, basically just he was brushing his hair into whatever he was doing. And then Punk shoved Jack Perry. And if you look at it closely, it almost felt like he went to go leg dive Punk and Punk said, hey, this ain't happening. And then he put him in the rear choke. You know what I mean? So then Joe came over to break it up, a couple other people. I don't see where Tony Khan was in fear for his life. I don't know where he gets that from. I guess he's watching too much Law & Order CSI or something. I don't know what the heck is going on here.
Consider franchises.
But you know what that video did for me? It legitimized what Punk said, because what did he say that was different from what we saw?
Well, he did make it sound like he was a little more casual than what he was in the video. Well, I mean, he was like, hey, look, if you're not going to handle this, then I don't know. I guess I will. Let's be honest. Clearly there were some tensions there.
But that's nothing new in this business. It's happened all the time. I've witnessed it dozens of times where people come back from people that were in an actual match in the ring would come back. And once they come through Gorilla, why did you do that? Why did you do that? Shove, shove, here we go. And it gets broken up. And then you know what? Next day, back to business. So this was just because somebody got their feelings hurt and thought from what they saw or heard from the Ariel Helwani interview with CM Punk and figured, oh, this is our chance to shoot back at them. And then what did you get from it? Absolutely nothing. It benefited nobody. It was a lose-lose situation, regardless of what they tried to spin this into afterwards.
Lobo Boyce.
Yo.
As far as the video goes, Jimmy says that it just proves CM Punk correct. It doesn't help anybody. What are your takeaway from the video? What did you see? Was there anything that maybe you haven't seen mentioned already? Or do you think the narrative online is correct?
I think it was the worst possible scenario. Whether or not you decided to release the footage then or now or forever together, whatever you need to release the video for, you have to have a reason for it. But what it did was just codify an echo chamber. Not one person who thought Punk was in the wrong is like, oh, this changes everything. Not one person that thought Punk was in the right says, this changes everything. So you got basically a 360, not a 180, a 360 that went absolutely nowhere, but made the Young Bucks look like they're playing a role that it wasn't good for them to do so. So net negative. Not sure what the reason was for it. The discourse is going to blow up all over social media. I guess people are talking about AEW. So if you're a P.T. Barnum guy, they've won. But it doesn't make you look good at the end of it, because that guy in that video, and shout out to FTR who tried to spin it later on, is not with your company. So now you're going to look for a talent who's elsewhere. Like, that to me is what I don't see the point.
So Corey Pride, by the way, says...
Sorry, Corey. Sorry to cut you. It was nothing more than clickbait. That's all it was.
Corey Pride says, what was the point of showing the Punk footage to pop a rating or kill Jungle Jack's career? They may have achieved the latter. I don't think they helped. I don't think it did anything to Jack Perry's career one way or the other, to be totally honest with you. And I don't think it helped CM Punk. Because like Flobo says, I agree with you, Flobo. I feel like I feel like the day after All In, everyone had pretty much made up their mind on how they felt about the situation.
You're not going to change those. The people who have already decided are not going. You're not going. That thing, that video, is not going to change anybody's mind. But it didn't help benefit anybody or the company at all. And that's what you wanted. You're trying to benefit, and it wasted valuable airtime for a talent you could have, you know, showcased, just to air that footage to get it out there, because, like I said, somebody got their feelings hurt. Come on, guys, move past it.
I agree. I wish we moved past it back at All In. The fact they brought up, I don't think they should have shown it. I should say this. I think if they were going to show it, they should have shown it right away. If they're going to show it, hey, this is what happened, and maybe set like when they announced that CM Punk was gone. Right. If like that, to me, I'm like, okay, but now I agree. It's water under the bridge. Not water under the bridge, but it's the past. Like, move on.
Maybe it did accomplish something. It got the crowd chanting CM Punk.
But I will say this, because there are a lot of people who have said, who have kind of implied that CM Punk did nothing. And I don't believe anything that someone said. I'm just talking about what I saw, right? If I'm not believing what CM Punk said, I'm not believing what the Young Bucks said. I don't know. I always say I wasn't there. This video is lacking a boatload of context, so it is not the full story. Exactly. That said, if I just judge it off of what I've seen, I have seen CM Punk have an outburst at a press conference, and I've seen him walk up to someone after their match and before his own match at the biggest show that they've ever done and pick a fight. So, again, a lot of context is missing. And I'm not saying that that's the whole story, and I'm not saying that's everything. But if this was a court of law, or if this was someone who's never seen any of this and they just had visual evidence that that's all we can see, that's what it looks like.
But you can't.
And I'm not saying that AEW is right. I'm not saying it's wrong. But what I'm saying is, anyone who says CM Punk did nothing or that he was some innocent in this, that's clearly not the case, because CM Punk made the first attack. He was the first person to get physical, and that's not okay. So, was it the best business decision? I don't know. Was there a Did Jungle Boy say, I want you to hit me? I don't know. Maybe he did. But based purely off of what we have, that's what it looks like.
I get what you're saying, Jack, and you're 100% right. This whole thing is out of context because we don't have any audio version of what was the interaction between them two. And there's one thing in this wrestling business that hasn't changed in the 100 and whatever years that it's been in existence is the respect factor, especially for someone who is a veteran. And when they are disrespected, that's the way. Thank God he didn't do this. If he did disrespect Punk, as Punk alleges, or a lot of people, I've heard it from a lot of people that Jack Perry has disrespected a lot of people in the locker room, a lot of veterans. Thank God it wasn't a Haku. Thank God it wasn't a Harley Race. Thank God it wasn't a Terry Funk, because it would have been a much different story. Punk, he got off easy. Trust me. Because if it was one of those guys, if it was a Joe and he got him hot enough where Joe would go, it would have been a much different story. So again, we don't know what was said in that interaction that they had. And to the point where to get Punk to push him, he must have said something to trigger him. That's the only thing I could say. And not to make it sound like I'm the smartest guy in the room, but I ran into CM Punk on the weekend and I had a little chat with him. And this is a guy who doesn't sugarcoat anything and he doesn't care what anybody thinks. He's going to tell it like it is. That's why I kind of have a feeling that I'm not taking his side, but I kind of have a feeling that the way he presented what happened is pretty much closer to the truth than what a lot of people think.
Well, I love I don't care if you use the word anymore. I like being inside story. I love being in the world of wrestling. You know, Jack and I, we talk about wrestling inside characters and stuff. This was in the middle of the show and it was real life. And so the question I have to ask, and you probably get into that now, don't want to step over your transition, is who does this benefit after showing? One man is no longer with the company. The other man is on sabbatical. I'm not sure why they would use that to bring in other players in this feud. But at the time now, all it does is raise questions as to why now, why on Dynamite, not on social. Like it didn't feel good. So if I'm watching it with open hearts and open minds, they can have an objective opinion. I'm already asking going into this, why is it happening now? And why is it being preferenced by two men in character as EVPs? So I don't really know how to feel.
I absolutely agree with that. I want to just so again, everyone knows, because people, CM Punk and news about CM Punk and everything, people get wound up very easily. And so I can already see in the chat as I'm talking, people are making comments. I don't think they should have shown the video. I said that at the beginning. I said that at the top. I don't know. I don't think it shouldn't have been done. I agree with Majestic Marie, who says, I just feel embarrassed with all of it. Yuck, yuck, yuck. I think everyone, frankly, I think everyone looks bad from it. I don't think anyone came off looking better.
No.
I'm just saying, I think if you showed a non-wrestling fan this and they knew no context and you said, which one of these guys looks like they're in the wrong, it would probably be the guy with the three X's on his back. That's all I'm saying. I'm saying I don't know. There's a lot of context to
that,
it.
That's why they use that video footage from that angle, because from that angle, you don't know. You don't know what was said. You don't know if Jungle Boy Jack Perry gave him a little middle finger there, you know, while they were doing it something.
It's never okay to hit somebody.
He didn't hit him though. He gave him a shove and Jungle Boy came back at him. So
it's still not okay.
In 2024, but back in my day, as Tony Garea used to say, it was common practice where if you guys went.
There's a lot of things that.
those are the other things we don't want to get into. That's when you stay kayfabe, brother.
Exactly.
I was talking about bedazzled jackets. What are you guys talking about?
I've always had bedazzled jackets.
Oh, is that what you're talking about? Okay, never mind then.
Fashion.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale. For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
So, again, the so that's kind of our thoughts on the story. Again, I feel like everyone in the chat has their own opinions. A lot of people siding with CM Punk and siding with that this was a bad idea. And I think there's a few takes on here that are a little overboard. I don't think this is like the end of the world. I just think it was a bad move.
Yeah.
That said, a story standpoint, I want to get into the story of this. Still don't think it was a good idea to show the video, but I want to talk about the story standpoint for one reason here. FTR came out after this, and I think the worst, crazy enough, I think the worst part about this video is that I think everyone was so busy talking about the video that they missed what was an incredible promo from FTR. And the way that they took this, which was, again, I didn't like that they showed it. They took it and found a way to give us a much needed, frankly, rah, 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 AEW's great promo that I felt natural, but also that really positioned them as like the team of the people and like, hey, we want AEW to be great. And Bucks, if you're going to keep doing this stuff, you can take your ball and go home. I thought that part was fantastic. Jimmy, if we can remove the video and just the idea of playing that video, what did you think of FTR's promo? Because to me, I think that was maybe outside of Willow saving a Hall of Famer, that might be my favorite part of the show.
I like the fire I saw from them. That's for sure. I saw some energy and some, they had some pep in their step. Let's put it that way. And these guys, they surprised me. I know they're fantastic in the ring. Probably, maybe, arguably the best tag team, or at least one of the best tag teams in the world right now. Mm-hmm. Because they do everything right. And I haven't had the opportunity to see them a lot on the mic. And this was an opportunity for me to see them. Mm-hmm. And this was the real them that we got. That's what it felt like to me. It wasn't FTR. This was Wheeler and oh my goodness, I'm
Dax
and
Hardwood.
Yeah,
Hardwood, Cash Wheeler. Yeah,
Cash Wheeler. Yeah, this was
them. I can't remember their names unless I say the full name.
Right. It's like it's like when you announce someone from Canada. It's the town, the province, and the country.
I was gonna say it's like an NXT. Josh Briggs and
Brooks Jensen.
There we go. Yeah. If I don't say their names together quick enough, I can't get it all out. But if you just said Briggs, I'm like Briggs. Just anyways, yeah. I don't want to.
Yeah. True. I love the speech, but what they could have done with this is leave the video out, have the Bucks allude to it in the back, say, listen, at All in Wembley, there was an altercation backstage, which we had to take care of as EVPs, as executive vice presidents, threw us off our game. You guys took advantage of it. Now we're coming to reclaim what is rightfully ours, or something along those lines. Allude to it, but you don't have to show the video. Then FTR comes out and they cut that beautiful speech, rah, rah, here we go. You know, and again, they turned it back to, you know, the video, basically alluding to it. And I didn't like that. Just take the video out of it and it would have been fine. And not be so blatant about who you were trying to point a finger at.
Yeah. Yeah, Flobo. Again, the video, I think, I don't know if there's anyone who's like, that was really great the way it was done. But as far as the FTR goes, I want your thoughts on the promo and kind of how they position themselves. And I saw in the chat, didn't we get a rah-rah AEW from Copeland last week or a couple weeks ago? It was last week. I think AEW does kind of need a little bit of that right now. They are getting kind of dragged through the mud right now, so I think it is okay to have people come out. But I think the FTRs felt very natural and it felt very real, but it also tied into the show, which is why I liked it a lot. Talk to me about that, and talk to me about potentially a Jack Perry return off the back of this.
Well, I mean, look, you play music for people, and you know there are no bad songs or just bad timings, right? You can have the best playbook in the world, but if your defense figures it out, then it's no good to you. This is what FTR was. I'm not doubting their talent. I mean, FTR Young Buck sells tickets alone. All right, fine, you give me a story on top, but having the video and having this kind of promo a week after Copeland just seems desperate. If I'm watching a wrestling program, I want to be able to see characters and stories and moves and holes and costumes and really attractive people do their thing. I don't want to have my second phone open or second tab open going, what are they referencing? Shaving a back, what does that mean? Where's this video come from? Why they're doing it? Why they're all this extra stuff is what really is the problem with AEW. Just go back to what worked for you. Give the women more time. Don't cram four segments into one segment at 9:30. Let FTR do what they want to do in the ring and let them cut a real promo that it's grounded in who the characters are. That said, Jack Perry has to come back to really put a button on this, or else this will be the most worst things I've seen on TV in a while.
Really quickly, if I could, before Jack does, I will be completely honest with you, is after this entire segment aired, I was almost ready to cash in for the night. It took me that far out of the programming. It almost made me lose interest in wanting to watch the rest of the show. I'm being completely honest here.
Whoa. Well, if you're going to be completely honest, by the way, Victor Sandoval says Tony Schiavone appeared uncomfortable. AEW fail. Tony Schiavone did look uncomfortable. I'm going to be honest with you guys then about this video. I don't think they should have shown it. And I agree. Yeah. I've said that a few times. I didn't think they should have shown it when they announced it. And I said that there's very few ways this video could be presented where that would change my mind. That said, because there's such curiosity about it, once the Bucks came on and they said they were going to show it, I was spellbound. I was glued to my TV. Honest with you, though, I'm not saying it's the best wrestling, but I thought I the whole time I was like, they shouldn't be doing this. But like, as soon as they started talking, we're going to show a video, I was just like, oh my God, like I was eating my popcorn. Like, let's do this. Spill some tea, baby. Come on. You wanted to see it, didn't you? Don't tell me you didn't want to see it.
I did out of morbid curiosity. That's the only reason I wanted to see the video. That's it. Because they pumped it up so big that I wanted to say, okay, what have they got that we don't know? They didn't show us anything that we haven't already heard. They didn't show us anything new. And it did. And what did it do to help further the storyline? Absolutely nothing. What did it do to help benefit the company? Absolutely nothing. At the end of the day, it's the wrestling business. And this wasn't business. This was somebody who had an agenda, and that's where they aired the video. And that's the only reason it showed up on TV.
I mean, maybe that was the case. But man, Huffman Elite training say we all wanted to see it. Again, I was like, this is it's so funny because that's coming on and like the countdown, like, yeah, they come on, like, it's time to show the videos. Like, this is so dumb.
Yo, oh yeah, absolutely. I was waiting for the swerve. I was waiting for them getting ready backstage and be like, gotcha. And I was like, Young Bucks.
especially because the video beforehand was like, then FTR beat us at Wembley. And I was like, oh, this is going to be something totally unrelated. And then they're talking about it. I was like, oh my God, what's it going to be? I'm not saying, I know that everyone's going to jump on the comments. Jack, it's not going to, they're not going to keep business and, they're not going to keep viewers. And you're probably right. But guess what? For that moment there, you could have pulled me away from if the fire alarm started going off, I'd have been like, hold on.
That is terrible.
I came this close to pulling out the old number 7. I was ready to just chug a few, and that was it, man.
Not even Canadian whiskey? That's terrible.
No, Tennessee. I'm Tennessee all the way. I'm a Titans fan, so what can I say?
I always say, if you're gonna spill the tea, spill all the tea. I do wish we got, I don't know. It wasn't the best thing in the world, but that moment, like I said, I'd be lying to you though if I said when the Bucks came on, I wasn't just like, what's gonna happen?
Really quickly here, a comment I see there, Jimmy Cordero, what would have happened if Bill Watts owned the company and this happened? It wouldn't have happened, Joey.
Ooh.
With Bill Watts, this would not have happened.
Imagine because Jimmy's from a city province and
To be fair, if Bill Watts didn't he make it so you weren't allowed to go over the top rope too, though? I mean,
well, that was a rule back in the day.
I feel like that would
over the top rope, it was a DQ.
I mean, come on. I think AEW, they wouldn't have got this far.
Back when bear hugs ended matches, the way it should be.
It's all in how you present it. That's all. It's like the clothesline. Nobody kicked out of a JBL clothesline.
Fair. I don't think they had a choice.
You stay down.
just don't change the finish while you're walking out of Gorilla. That's all.
Majestic Marie, tea is too tasty to spill. I like that. In all this, though, Mr. X, probably the greatest comment, says, "Hey, Jack Farmer, just wanted to say you did a great job commentating on that Defy show last week in Philly." Mr. X, I mean, we talked about a video that the world should see. You should all go see "Can't Deny It" by Defy from the GCW Collective weekend. What a great show!
I am tired looking at footage, Jack. I'm not selling any more footage today.
What if I take the audio off? I'm on commentary.
Sold. Yeah.
We gotta move on. Let us know if you still have points you wanna make. Leave a comment. I do check out all the comments and read them. I ignore them if they're just mean, though. Leave a comment. I'll try to get back to you guys there. Will Ospreay came out, bruv, and he cut a promo. He takes shots at anyone who says that he's not in it for the grind, and I think we know what we're talking about there. Then he talks about Bryan Danielson and really does a good job of talking about how great Bryan Danielson is and basically how epic their match is going to be. Flobo, this was another shot back at, let's face it, Triple H. Triple H had made these comments. It was alluded to that it was Will Ospreay here. One, I want your thoughts on, I guess, Will Ospreay. Two, I want your thoughts on if they're going to talk about them, is it fair for them to respond? And three, people are saying this is a bad news move by Ospreay, but Cody Rhodes broke the throne and now he's the champ. What are your thoughts?
I think Will Ospreay, of all the signings that AEW had in the past 6 months, he may be the biggest star. That's including Okada. I do think that Ospreay has a tremendous upside. He's very young. He's brash. He's himself, is unapologetic, and he can go. So I think AEW has a diamond in the rough. And by that, I mean not much of skill, but making him a crossover star in wrestling. That said, what Ospreay said wasn't the worst thing in the world. It was like, oh my gosh, a grinding reference, clutch the pearls. But it just came after so much other stuff today. I was like, are you kidding me? Read the room. Like, you can't top what happened 20 minutes ago and your pants are too tight. Just get out there and say you're better than Daniel Bryan and leave, you know? But I like it though. I love his attitude. Just didn't think it was a bit too much today.
I disagree about the pants, but
well, you're a thigh guy. That's all we all know you like them thighs, baby.
We're having fun tonight. Jimmy, I know you hate it when people take shots at WWE, but
no, I hate
to be fair, he's responding to something that was said. I mean, I guess that's it's important. I didn't know who Triple H was talking about, if I'm being honest. Because I saw the clip he's referring to, I didn't know who he was talking about. Apparently, at least Will Ospreay believes that it's Will Ospreay who's talking about. So is it fair that he responds if that's the case?
Well, this basically was a shot at Triple H for the internet community, for that niche audience, because they're the only ones who got it. It flew over everybody else's radar, I think. I think it did for that audience, that AEW audience. They definitely got the reference.
But didn't this was at a triple mate. This was on Pat McAfee's show that he said it, right? Like this was he said it on a pretty big broadcast. This wasn't like a tweet that Triple H said this on.
Right.
Again. And by the way, I just want to clarify. I had no idea who Triple H was talking about. I'm just assuming based on what Will Ospreay said. So right. There's some assumptions going on here on my part. So just to
there's assumptions going on a lot tonight, and let's put it that way. No, he had great energy. He came out. He's got the audience backing him, and he talked about Daniel Bryan putting him over the way he did. Leave it at that. You didn't need to take the petty shot in the middle because that kind of went okay. You know, for some people it was like, ooh, snap, he got him, but who got who? Check the numbers at the gate, boys.
But isn't
who's
that
got who?
But to your point, then doesn't it make sense that if someone is on a big platform talking about you, that you respond the best you can? Because obviously, Will Ospreay is not going to get on Pat McAfee show be able to respond there.
No, but did Triple H, if that reference was to Will Ospreay, did he do it in a promo? Did he do it in the ring? Did he do it on television? No, he did it in an interview where he was asked a question. He didn't do it to cut a promo to take a shot at somebody. That's the difference here in my view, at least. Anyways, you don't take the shot because you have a platform on TV to do it, and you can go, "Hey, I can get away with it here because the boss doesn't care," and it probably popped the boss. He probably got a kick out of it. You know what I mean?
I guess what I'm saying is Ospreay's never going to be on a platform that big, though. Like this is the only opportunity really he has, right? Like, maybe he'll be on a bigger. I don't want to like. Will Ospreay is a superstar, so he may blow up even bigger. But like I said, he's not going to ever be on, at least as of now, on Pat McAfee or in a similar. He's not going to be in that similar situation where he gets the chance to respond.
No, I see that point, but it was unnecessary. It wasn't needed. And why didn't you respond right after it happened? Right after the comment was made. How long ago was the comment made?
It was this weekend, I think.
Right.
This would have been his first time.
Okay, but did you have to air it? Put it on your Twitter. You got a big following. People will know.
So I know that, like, because people keep saying he was asked the question. I get that he was asked the question, but here's the thing. This is why I'm getting hung up on this, is everyone's acting as if because Jack Perry said some things, he deserved to have someone confront him that way. Someone else says something, and someone else responds with words, and now that person who's responding in words is, "What are you doing? That's ridiculous." Flobo, I feel like it's a double standard. Am I wrong here?
I mean, you put it like that in that context. Yeah, I think the difference between Jack Perry and CM Punk and then Will Ospreay and Triple H, if you're asking me objectively, is that when you're on the team, there is a little bit of leeway you have among teammates to even get elevated with your words, but figure out things. Did Punk need to hit Jack? No, but I do think you have a little more leeway. When you're on a show and you say something, yeah, you can respond a myriad of ways. That Will Ospreay decided to do it in promo. He kept it on wax, as we say in hip hop. That's fine. Mm-hmm. I guess my issue with Ospreay was that it had come after so many other segments of references to that company. It seemed a bit too much in that regard, but the stuff he said was pretty toothless. I mean, we've all talked about Stephanie McMahon Helmsley before. Stephanie McMahon Levesque before. So it's not a big deal. I just kind of like, dude, read the room. We already been through this like 20 minutes ago.
If you didn't correct yourself, I totally would be like, yeah, Stephanie McMahon Helmsley.
I was like, what are you doing?
Like, that's her name.
It's a legal name, yeah.
Then Julio says, if the shoe fits, wear it. Stop watching after this. Stopped watching after this.
No, why stop watching? You know, if you're a wrestling fan, look, like I said, Edge had the great rah-rah speech last week. He even mentioned, because coming from Toronto, he mentioned all the things I used to watch, because we were blessed here in Toronto to have so many different promotions to watch on television. I watched them all. I loved it all. I took it all in. I absorbed it. That's what made me a wrestling fan. Is the fact that I was able to watch so many different promotions. And I think what that video did tonight was take a big middle finger and shove it in Edge's Adam's face, in the face of all wrestling fans that follow their product. I didn't like it at all. It wasn't necessary because it benefited no one.
I'll say this, as someone who's not involved one way or the other with the guys involved, I always say, like, I like when companies talk a little trash to each other. There's like fun ways to do it, and then there's not fun ways to do it, right? When they get competitive, I think fun ways are, you know, like when the famous scene after Bret Hart left WWE and Shawn Michaels pretended like he was going to have another match with him, and it wasn't Bret Hart, if you recall. Right. That's fun. It's like fun. You're teasing. It's in good nature. What's not fun is stuff like, I'm just making this up, but like an example of, you can't be at this venue because we have a contract there, or you can't do something business wise to be successful, or like the stuff that's happening with All In or whatever. I felt like the video made me feel yucky. I agree with everyone saying that. I'm not Triple H, so maybe I don't take it personally, but I kind of thought that was fun. It felt like fun trash talk between companies with what he was saying. Cause like Flobo said, it was all stuff that we've heard. It wasn't like it was.
But save it for another night then. It didn't have to happen tonight when you've already got all that other crap that they've aired. And if I could just one last thing before we move on to anything, it almost seems like they're trying to recreate the Monday Night War era. And this is not that, because they're not competing on the same nights. In the Monday Night Wars, both companies had a show on the same night at the same time. That was a real war. That was a real battle. This is two companies on different nights. They're not competing against each other. Concentrate on your product and try to grow your audience as best you can. This did nothing to help that. That's the problem I have with this. It did nothing to help your audience, grow your audience. It only caters to that little niche audience that doesn't feel that AEW does anything wrong. That's all it is.
I thought it was fine. But
I agree. Like super kicks Jimmy after all that.
I agree. It shouldn't happen after video, but I think we've all, you know, the video should have been aired. So
see, if I was in the room with you, I'd put a rear. No. I'm only kidding.
Throw me through the barbershop window. I don't.
Oh, that's different.
Yeah, he's running away.
But some is fun, some's not fun. We got to move on because we've already drugged this out. So Lion Hook and Shibata team up to take on Shane Taylor Promotions. Jericho implies that everyone should listen to him and they've got a game plan. We get to the match. Shibata accidentally kicks Jericho. This leads to Jericho fighting with Hook. Shane Taylor Promotions gang up on Shibata and they get the win. Post-match, Hook runs off Jericho and then shows respect for Shibata. Flobo, I've said this before, but this is the first time I think you've been on the show for this. I'm a big Jericho fan. He's one of my all-time favorites. So I always want to be respectful when I mention this. What's missing from Jericho and Hook? Because on paper, you've got a legend, you've got an up-and-comer, you've got a conflict that is kind of obvious, but it works.
Right.
Why does this, at least for me, just feel like it's just not hitting?
I think he answers your own question. The problem is not so much Hook, even though Hook has his own weaknesses and strengths, but who doesn't, right, in wrestling? Is that we've seen it before with MJF, with Sammy Guevara, with Orange Cassidy. We've seen this so many times, and it's not Judas Jericho, it's Lionheart Jericho, but it kind of feels almost like that's his thing. He goes through these young talent, they work, and they have a disagreement, a couple of missed hits, a couple of challenges, a couple of misunderstandings, some bubbly if you're lucky, and it's a matchup. So it's kind of like, oh, okay, this is another one on rails. Now, they can make this different. There's still a chance for it to really stick out here, especially getting Shibata involved randomly. Sure, why not? But this is why I'm not so much like hyped until I see that first twist in the story.
Yeah, Jimmy, great to see Shane Taylor Promotions get a big win. Lee Moriarty, probably the biggest win of his career, pinning Shibata. I know it's not a one-on-one match, but you know, you got to appreciate those moments as a wrestling fan. I'm sure he's obviously he's a wrestler, and I'm sure he's a fan. I hope he's a fan of wrestling if he's in the business, but pretty cool moment for him. What's your takeaway on like this for me? I don't know if it's kind of burned out emotionally from everything else we just saw or what, but I just felt like for some reason, the Jericho Hook thing, I don't feel the, what's the word I'm looking for? The chemistry between them.
Well, like you said, it feels like there's something missing because this is the different Chris Jericho that we've seen in the past. And yes, he has reinvented himself several times to great success, but this is a completely different Chris Jericho that almost like a father figure wants to mentor everybody. And I think people are just uncomfortable with it because they've never seen this side of Chris Jericho before. This is almost like, okay, let's peel back the curtain. This is what I'm really like. I want to help elevate the next level, the next generation, is that sort of stuff like we talked about with Edge. And I think people are seeing this as a different Chris Jericho and it's not yet connecting. It may, you know, in the future, but that's the thing. I think part of the problem also is I think Hook needs to come out a little bit more with personality and not just come out and do the typical wrestler promo kind of stuff. Let's see more of Hook. Let's see who he is. Let's hear him. Let's see what he says, how he feels, how he, you know, gets you emotionally invested instead of just doing German suplexes and stuff like that. I want to know about Hook. The one thing I will say about the match with the three-way, I like the way they set up the finish differently, where they had Jericho and Hook arguing on the outside, basically leaving Shibata on his own to get manhandled by three guys, as opposed to your typical referee distraction. Hey, look over there and don't look for 50 seconds. You know what I mean? Kind of thing. So at least it was different. and gave a reason why that finish happened the way it did.
Flobo, you laughed. What did you think was funny?
Jimmy said manhandle with three guys. And I'm sorry. I'm totally immature. I am completely immature.
You've been watching Ricky Stenicki too much. That's
a new classic. Shout out to Amazon. But I'm with you. I think that's Jimmy the nail on the head. I think Shabbat is cool. I think it was cool X Factor. But to see him get like destroyed the way he did today, it was kind of like disappointing. But it's fine.
I will say I really enjoyed Shabbat is great. He's a legend. I actually, for some reason today, I was really like, Shabbat is pretty cool. We should put him on TV more. We should put him on TV more.
Quick
promo from Bullet Club Gold. They're just kind of running through what they're doing. I don't think there's really anything to mention there. But we got Tony Champagne Toast. It's really just an excuse to attack Thunder Rosa and rub her paint off. Deonna shows up and tries to help Thunder Rosa, but she thinks Deonna attacked her. This leads to Mariah May having a match with Anna Jay. They go back and forth. Mariah May gets the win. Anna Jay gets the last word, though, choking her out. But then Mira Shirakara comes out and chases her off and then gives Mariah May champagne and a kiss. So this was my potato bag, Jimmy. Flobo, I don't know if this was rushed. Again, this feels very, I get where they're going with the Tony Champagne Toast, but this felt like the bait and switch. Like they're going to do this big thing. And it was really just a attack. I don't know. This felt very, I like the pieces. Didn't right. like it.
And so it's hard not to sit there after watching what we watched today and be like, oh man, if they didn't have the video, they'll have more time to break these segments up, right? Was it going to be the toast that goes awry with Thunder Rosa? Was it going to be the actual match? You haven't really reestablished about Mira today on this week. I mean, I remember seeing the clips on social, but I was like, oh yeah. But then Excalibur's like, oh, from Stardom. Like I should be watching Stardom at the same time. I think about pacing. I think that could have been solved by sprinkling those elements throughout the episode, but I'm just nitpicking here. That's a big potato bag because that's your only women's segment of the evening besides Willow Nightingale. And it got felt like you spent one. All right, we're going to our main event. You know, like, zoom.
Yeah, this was one, the end, and we've talked about this before. Mira Shirakara, Jimmy, this is one where we obviously didn't have time for a video package. I know we always talk about we need video packages for these people, mm-hmm. but I really felt like we needed someone to explain who she is and what she's doing, especially the end there. Like that made no sense to me. And even I was a little frustrated because even on commentary, there's like, what is she doing? And I'm thinking, I don't know. That's your job to tell me. What are you, right. why are you asking? That was a frustrating part for me is, I'm sure Mira Shirakara is great. I'm sure she has history with Mariah May, but I feel like them going, oh, she like, is, I don't know. I guess like, it's kind of like, oh my God, she's here. She's from Stardom. She's amazing. First off, why? Like, tell me something about it. But then she starts doing something. Like, well, what's she doing? Like, I don't know. You're the one that just told me she's great. Why are like, it's like me saying, Jimmy, you got to watch this movie, Ricky Stenicki. It's great. And you're like, what's it about? I don't know what's going on in this movie.
I don't either. But I heard it's great.
Like, sorry, that was my rant for the day. But what were your takeaways from this?
No, it just felt like it was, again, like you said, it was rushed. And this was her debut, was it not? Shirakawa's debut, basically, in AEW. It just felt awkward that the debut is a run-in.
Like
I get she came out to make the save and to help out, but at the same time, oh my God, she's here. It's just, to me, that's not how you debut someone, especially someone who's supposed to be a big deal. You need to have those video packages. You need to introduce them to your audience because there's a lot of people who don't know who she is. And when she comes out there, then like you said, the commentary team said mentioned her and said, oh, I can't believe she's here. Why is she here? I don't know. So if you don't know, why? How do we know?
Yeah, and it's and Flobo, it's one thing I think if she like chases off Anna Jay and then she's like standing with a chair and we're like, right. what are her intentions? But she was clearly doing something.
Sure.
Like there was clearly, and I still don't know. I definitely feel like that's the moment where I would have loved if they just went to the commentary table even and kind of did the, of course, Mir Shirakara has history with Anna Jay and Stardom, where they teamed together. Now seems to, you know, I don't know, saying something to like kind of, or like giving her drinks to Mariah May. That's what she does with the people in her group. I don't, again, I'm just making stuff up. I don't know who Mira Shirakara is, but like, I don't know. To me, I was so bummed out because so many women had so many stories on this week. But then this one left me just going, I don't get it, though. What is it?
Well, here's the thing. And I'm going to be completely honest with you guys, and I apologize. I know sometimes when I watch wrestling, I'm not in the moment. Because when this match was happening, Mariah May versus Anna Jay, I was like, you just like got rid of Thunder Rosa's like face paint. That's important to her, right? We're not mentioning that ever again. So my mind was actually thinking about Thunder Rosa. Is she going to get up? Is she going to come down to the ring? Is she going to break it up? But she disappears like a level one boss. And then this happens. I felt like I had to make a giant leap. So I was out of it. So the questions you're having, I'm sure I would have. But I was like, you took someone's face, her mask, I guess. That should be something. That should be our segment there. I'd rather not even have the match than really drive that home.
I was just thinking that exact same thing. Why have the match? Why not let that moment with Toni Storm and Deonna Purrazzo marinate? Let the audience soak it in and take it in. You know, the short attention span sometimes with some of the audience. Now that's lost. That's a lost moment because they went straight into the match right after it. They didn't let it breathe. They didn't. Yeah.
Yeah. As we wind down to the main event, Samoa Joe versus Dustin Rhodes.
Okada, remember him?
Oh, did I actually skip over to the Okada match? Oh, my God. Absolutely.
It wasn't that memorable, I know. Well,
no, I think his... Anyway, so yeah, Okada gets the win. He says he's taking PAX challenge. Young Bucks attack him. FTR show up, try to make the save, but the Elite get the upper hand.
So we're getting triple threat match somewhere down the road?
Well, I know Okada and PAX, but yeah, we'll probably get the Trios match next week is what I'm guessing. It's fine. But I got to ask this. Let me ask you this, Jimmy. A lot of times we say we need to see the like guys look dominant in AEW, and there's too many 50-50 matches. Mm-hmm. Okada got a dominant win. Did you like that they did this?
It reminded me of the old school enhancement talent matches that you used to get on TV every week to try to pump up the big stars. And that feels like what they're doing with Okada. But he needs to... in my opinion, defeat guys who are a little higher level. They don't have to be the top guys, but someone that people go, okay, this is somebody who can give them a little bit of a run at least make me think that they have at least a little bit of a chance. Because as soon as the introduction, he didn't even get an introduction. And everybody in the building knew that this is going to be short.
Yeah. Well, I feel like we didn't need an introduction for this one.
No, we didn't.
But I get what you're saying.
Yeah, it just, you knew right away, especially from a TV standpoint.
Should have been someone like a Action Andretti, is what you're saying.
Or sure,
like
why not?
So someone we've seen before, but like a Matt Sydal or a someone we've seen before, but not necessarily someone.
Somebody who can give us a little more in the match other than a dominant.
Like, obviously you don't want it to be like Powerhouse Hobbs, but like And Clay Ford in the chat says, do I have to repeat this? Stardom talent in AEW, literally the best women's wrestlers in the world, could be showing up in AEW. That is huge. Flobo, I was going to respond, but why don't you take it?
I think Stardom is one of the best promotions on the planet when you get a chance to get around to them. But I think what AEW does to its discredit, right, because it's a global brand, it has relationships with all these things, is really you could open that bridge by having more cross-pollinating content. What ends up happening, unfortunately, this is probably my only opinion, is that when a talent from Stardom arrives, Excalibur acts like if she's been there all day, and if you don't know who she is, you're a loser. Like, I always feel dumb listening to Excalibur because he's like, oh, duh, she was in Tokyo Cyber Squad, duh. And you're like, oh, I don't know that. And I think maybe WOW and WWE get flack for doing the opposite, kind of spoon feeding you. But sometimes you kind of need to be spoon fed, especially when you're trying to introduce a whole new region to fans.
And really quickly about Excalibur, he's doing a great job. Don't get me wrong. Play-by-play, he's really, really elevated his game big time. But does he really need to wear the mask at this point?
Well, that'd be weird. I don't know. I haven't seen him without it.
Exactly.
Maybe if we saw him with the mask, we'd know why he wears one. You know,
great face for radio.
Looks like Jack Farmer. Yeah. Looks like Jack.
But yeah, I know that it's not knowing who someone is has nothing to do with how talented they are. There's a ton of talented wrestlers. It's like, I always say that with NXT, if we're going to talk about WWE, we'll talk about like NXT UK, for instance, fantastic, great. I was such a fan of that brand. Flobo and I actually, we watched it all the time. When Walter Gunther now came over, he didn't run out and they just go, oh, by the way, that's Gunther. And then have him start doing his like general mm-hmm. thing and not explain what that is. They said he is the former UK champion. He respects the ring. They call him the ring general and he leads this group. Imperial. They explain to you, oh, this is now I get it. Because right. It's also, again, it's not like when she came out, she just chased someone off and you go, what's going on? She was doing something very specific with the drinks and the kiss. And so, like, there's a very specific thing happening here. So that needs story. It's not, you know, again, if you've never watched New Japan in WWE and AJ Styles walks up to Finn Balor and they do the two sweet and no one says anything about it, you're going to be like, what was that? That was weird.
Yeah.
Like, in any
case, can I cut a promo on this guy real quick? Is that okay?
Which one?
Antonio C.R. Murray says, that's called being educated, Flobo Boys. IWC today just need to step it up. That's why Meltzer and his guys run all over everyone when it comes to knowledge and experience of the craft. And that is the problem. I understand when you learn a sport or a game, there's a whole level of the stuff, and it's okay with being knowledgeable. But at the end of the day, it is entertainment. You're supposed to make sure the people in the audience understand what's happening at every point in time. If it's you just don't get it, or read a book, or go to his website, then you've already lost the plot. I mean, let's be real. Is it, am I supposed to impress my friends that I've watched Stardom, or is it supposed to be, oh, this person's from Stardom, she's great because of this person?
Let's go, Flobo.
Yeah. you're exactly right. And by the way, that goes with everything, not just wrestling. Like, when people don't know something, it's so weird how, like, with music, if there's an artist that I love and Flobo hadn't heard of them, or Flobo, if you knew an artist I'd never heard of before, and you're like, who's that? Like, you're like, oh, you should listen to so and so. And I'm like, I've never heard of them. You don't go, ugh. Educate yourself. You're like, you know, you're like, dude, you go on Spotify and listen to this song. It's great. You'll love it. Like, that's what you should do. Like, if I'm saying I don't know who it is, don't be a jerk about it, but be like, you should say, there's a match on YouTube. Check it out. It's really awesome. You'll love it. I wish I could remember.
By the way, tell him that Meltzer's full-time job is to watch wrestling for every day, 24/7. That's what he does. Oof. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I would love to watch wrestling all day long, but I love other programs too. You know what I mean? I like to watch Law. I mentioned Law and Order either earlier and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. There's a great show out there I love watching called Tracker.
Yeah.
You know, I love that show. It's not just
save it for the Tracker podcast. Okay.
There you go. There you go.
Super kick, Jack Farmer.
There you go. Hold on.
No, but you're right. I didn't mean to cut you off. I just you're right. Like, there's a lot of wrestling that I don't watch just because there's not time. Like, I would love to, but WWE and AEW alone, you're looking at like 15 hours a week.
That's exactly. Great. If that's I watch as much wrestling as Meltzer, I wouldn't be married today.
Yeah. You wouldn't have time.
Exactly.
So we end the show with, by the way, Bigfoot Sneakerhead with a super chat says, I'm not sure if TK knows how to run a wrestling company. That video should have never been shown. That TV time should have been saved for the talent. We're going a little long, Bigfoot. We did chat about it a little bit before. I don't think we need to rehash.
Real quick reply to Bigfoot. He needs someone to run the company for him. That's basically it. Someone with wrestling knowledge.
We get to the end of the show. Samoa Joe takes on Dustin Rhodes in an eliminator match. The story is Joe was rocked earlier, but it gets bloody pretty quickly. Dustin Rhodes tries to use the title, decides against it, hits a crossroads. Great near fall. I was like, oh my God, that was actually pretty good. Joe eventually gets the belt and uses it to get the win. Joe attacks Rhodes after until he gets kicked in the head by Swerve, who uses the chain, and Swerve and Nana dance in the ring to close the show. While predictable, Flobo, this is a solid ending. I liked it. I thought the match was good. They popped me once. Like I said, with that near fall, I thought maybe Dustin was going to get it.
Yeah.
And it builds up to their match. I mean, I don't think it was a you know, I'm not going to be talking about it 5 years from now, but I thought this was a very good main event.
And that's what makes it so great or frustrating. After all the gripes I had about AEW for the past hour and 40 minutes, to come out and give us a match that hits all the marks for me. I mean, yeah, you could argue about what Samoa did to go be pushed to use the belt, whatever. You could, that's a storyline thing. Not on the matter part, but this match, it was great. Swerve is on another level. I mean, he really is the biggest star for that crowd there tonight in West Virginia, them and Joe. I mean, hit all the marks. Unfortunately, Dustin doesn't get to finish the story, but besides that, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, Jimmy, any thoughts on the close here? Did you, again, I don't think it was the most unpredictable ending, but any takeaways?
No, I liked the match. I thought it was a very good match. It told a good story. And they did the finish from WrestleMania 20, John Cena, Big Show, basically. And it works. It was simple. It got to the point, and they pulled it off. I liked it.
So that does it for us. That does it for our episode. Again, I thought, you know what I like about wrestling sometimes, though? Like, maybe it's because I cut my teeth in the Attitude Era. But I kind of like it when their shows have these highs and lows and these like this roller coaster of like, I love this. What was that? This is great. Huh? Like part of me loves it. I don't know. I kind of like, that's one of the things I love about AEW is I feel like you definitely just get like, they swing for home runs every time. And sometimes they strike. Sometimes they hit a home run. I enjoy that stuff. Was this, technically speaking, the best episode of wrestling you're going to watch? Probably not. Was I absolutely glued to the TV and on Twitter and having my friends blow up my phone during this one? Yes. So I was entertained. I will say that. Flobo, where can we find you online? What were your final thoughts? And in the chat, everyone let me know your final thoughts.
You can find me disagreeing on Jack Farmer on that X at Flobo all the time. But also check out the Instagram at Flobito, FLOBITO.
And Jimmy Corderas, any final thoughts from you? And where can we find you online?
No, I thought the show was bookend very well on front and back end, but a lot of stuff in the middle, as we talked about. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
wait, it is show what it or is.
AEW. This show was awesome.
I'm giving you for like 40 minutes, but.
There we go.
I thought you were burying us, Jimmy. Like, oh my God.
Yeah, exactly. But where you can find me here on Monday nights and Wednesday nights after Raw and Dynamite, respectively. You can catch me on the Refing It Up podcast with my good brother in stripes, Brian Heppner and RJ, who holds the glue together for us. And of course, you can catch my Ref and Rants every Monday through Friday on all my social media platforms, where again, I try to be positive a lot of times. I wanted to be positive, especially after this week, because it was a great week of wrestling. But maybe sometimes I have to just go off the rails a little bit.
Hell yeah.
Jimmy, you're going to strip those screws if you keep tightening them.
Oh, I know. My hands are sore from the screwdriver.
Very good. The Referent podcast is very good. I recommend everyone check it out. Flobo Boyce, you do an incredible job with your casting as well as the Draped in Gold podcast. Oh, yeah. You can find me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media, and I am doing commentary. You can still check it out on Fight TV, Defy Can't Deny It, and Progress Freedom Walks Again on the GCW, the collective slate of shows. A lot of that. Good stuff. A lot of British wrestlers there. That if you haven't heard of, educate yourself. But
that was the worst deck I've ever educate yourself. You're like a fiddle tube man. What the heck was that?
But anyways, check that out. I'm going to be doing ring announcing for PCW Ultra on Friday. That's going to be a good show. There's a some big stars on that show that you're going to see. So be there live if you're in LA. If you don't know how to get tickets, just shoot me a DM on Twitter. And if you're in the chat and join us all the way to the end, this is a very popular show. It means the world to us. Like, comment, share, subscribe. Again, I know a lot of people think that I don't need to do that. But again, if you do, it does help us a whole bunch. Leave a little comment, even if you've been in the chat, just a, hey, I enjoyed the show. Peter Joseph, thank you for that. You do that regularly as well, Killer of Demons. Mm-hmm. Appreciate you all. You can find our next show is going to be on Friday to cover SmackDown. And I don't know who's on that one this week. Maybe it's me. I don't know unless I look at the calendar. But make sure to follow at Wrestling Inc. to get all of your wrestling news. That does it for us, and we'll see you on Friday. Take that end stream button.